This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Coat to Texas.
And on this week's design segment of the Skirted Roundtable, we're going to be talking about color, our use of color in designs, go-to paint colors.
You know what made me think about this particular theme was I had a reader recently ask me about certain color. We started talking about the color, using the color pink in particular in a room. I'm big on using color, so I use it as often as I can. The pink that we were talking about, though, she wanted to use it for not a child's room, but her own master bedroom. There are so many pinks out there, but it's so important that you get a particular color that you don't use too baby of a pink, you know, that you use something that's almost more sort of cameo, I always say cheap face powder pink, because it has such a much more kind of candlelight quality to it. And I also tend to get a lot of requests for the color that I've used. A lot of people have seen pictures of my house and the blue, kind of the green blue that I use throughout the front part of my house. That actually came from a group of colors that I originally got at Kmart probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it was a line that Martha Stewart put out for Kmart. Kmart no longer carries it. I think Osh, is that OSH? They now have her line, and it's a great palette to just pick up. I picked up actually one of each of their little squares and punched holes in them and put them on a key ring. And it's great because you can get them copied, you know, from at any,
oh,
you know, at a
color
Home
matched.
Depot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the one I always use is for that kind of green blue is called Tall Taper Green. And it's sort of a really great sea glass blue green. It's not too green and it's not too blue. I guess going back to the idea of using color, I think that a lot of people get nervous about using color, assuming that it's going to make a smaller space seem smaller. And I think it does exactly the opposite. You know, you have a small powder room and you put a strong, dramatic color in it, it actually adds depth to the room.
I agree. And I always sort of tell people, especially with a small powder room, that's where you can experiment with something unusual. And I also generally think if you have a small room, it's a small room. Go with the smallness, you know, embrace it.
Embrace it and add something interesting to it. You know, add color. If you don't, last week we were talking about bringing in pieces of furniture and how you can design on a budget. And Joni brought up the fact that paint is the easiest way to do it. And it can add so much character to a room.
My bedroom is actually, sorry, Joni, my bedroom is actually a pinky peach. That was actually, it was kind of two colors. I did a pink and then I glazed a peach over it. Because it looks nice on the complexion, and it's not Pepto-Bismol pink, and it's not baby icky pink.
What do you remember? It's a mixture.
It's a mixture, and so they were Sherwin-Williams, and I don't remember the colors.
I think what I always call a personal palette. When I go into people's homes, I try not to put upon them the colors I like to live with, and I think everyone has a personal palette that. If you look around, you can tell by their wardrobe or things that they collect, even their china, sort of the colors that they gravitate toward. And Linda, just knowing what your coloring is like, that makes sense that your bedroom would be that color, because that color probably would be a beautiful color on you, clothing-wise. Joni did an excellent post a while ago on the Wheat family. Joni, how long ago? That was a while ago. But their whole house was done in this beautiful palette of grays and whites and really neutral tones. That in itself, I think I wrote to you, Joni, and said, is this family all blonde? I just picture this, someone living in this space to be blondes. And weren't they?
Well, she is blonde, but it's funny you mentioned that house because I think that's one of my most popular blogs I've ever written, and it was such a well-received space. And it was her colors, her kitchen. I've been emailed 1,000 times, what is the color of Sally Wheat's kitchen? I have it on the blog. I learned something about color doing a job, and it affected my way of designing more than anything. I did my largest job that I've had was a complete high rise for an elderly lady. She was 85, and she was moving from 30 years in one space and upgrading using all her, you know, her savings, and she put it all in this beautiful high rise, and we got rid of everything and used all her mother's furniture that had been in storage, blah, blah, blah. We picked out colors. We wanted a Tuscany color, terracottas and the sagey greens, and that's what we used. Very dark. Everything everything in the living room was very color saturated on the walls because the sun is so bright in a high rise that everything washes out, and I wanted, you know, you to get that color feel. Her hair was a brown red, and when she would sit in front of the walls after they were painted, I noticed how gorgeous she looked. Her coloring blended with the coloring in the apartment on the walls. The sagey green just went with her copper-colored hair, and then the terracottas, and her complexion just shined in this apartment. And it really got me thinking, decorate around what that owner looks good in. My next big job I had with a client who had, you know, frosted blonde hair and bright blue eyes. And her house we did in bright pinks and greens, very clear, you know, colors. And that was my second experience with, you know what, you look great in this environment. And so ever since those two jobs, I've always, you know, gone that way color-wise. What colors do you look good in? Let's put it in your house. My go-to colors, well, I started using Pratt & Lambert, which is a French-based company, because there was a store right by my house. So, you know, it was a convenience thing. But I've just found that I like their colors. They don't have a huge range. It's kind of much easier to manage than some others that have millions of colors. And I like to use kind of muted colors that are not, you can't really look at it and say, oh, that's a yellow, or, oh, that's a brown, mm-hmm. you know, or that's a green. I like to use a green-brown or a gold-yellow or a brown-yellow, those kind of colors. I do find myself repeating colors a lot. One of my favorites is Ceylon Ivory.
Well, I think one thing that you brought up, Joni, you were talking about your experience when you went and did that job for that woman, the elderly woman, and you used all these colors, and when she sat down, you realized they were her palette, and that's exactly what I was talking about. I really think there's that we all have a personal palette, and that
I don't know. It just has really worked for me. And, you know, so I love designing that way. I have had clients, and I recently did have one that she wanted all golds. And regardless of whether she looked good in it or not, that's what she wanted, and that was her palette. And, you know, that's what we went with, you know.
That's
so.
What she chose, yeah. That's yeah. True. It doesn't always. I mean, I guess you're right. I haven't really come across that, but it is what people like. What they gravitate toward.
Well, and I think mm-hmm. that's, you know, part of the job of the designer is the client may say, I like purple, but the designer's job is to find the right purple. Because,
yes.
you know, there's only, you know, six basic colors, whatever it is. You know, there's only a handful of real actual colors, but there's a million golds. And, you know, helping people figure out, do you want a green gold, yellow gold, a brown gold? You know,
and most people, I think a lot of people don't see that variation.
No,
I think
they don't.
A lot of people cannot see when something's going. And so these are the people that you walk into their house and they say, I was trying to go for beige, and they have literally 23 different patches up that they
right.
paint it.
Right. And they just, or the people who buy the beige sofa because they thought it would go with everything. But what they didn't realize was that beige sofa was like a blue beige.
Or a green.
Yeah.
Well, Maria Callum, who is a blogger, and she writes a blog on color theory. She's fabulous, and I want to get her on one time to talk to, you know, the listeners. And she wrote a wonderful piece on beiges and pink beiges and, you know, yellow beiges. And just there's the difference in beiges and how awful it can all go. If you have a pink beige and a yellow beige on the wall, oh, with a pink beige on the floor, and, you know, and it's just awful. At the time, I was having trouble picking a paint color for a client, and it was a beige, and I called her. I mean, I emailed her, and I said, help me, you know, I can't get this right, because the beige is pink, and everything we put on the wall is too pink. And so she kind of walked me through it. You know, even though I've been in the business 10 years, you know, you can learn something from anybody.
I had clients who, she wanted everything. I don't know if you know the designer Susan Sargent, who's up here in New England, mm-hmm. really pretty, very vibrant color palette. But the client, what she didn't want was to paint her walls. And she thought her woodwork was nice, was all painted, and so she didn't want to touch the woodwork and she didn't want to paint the walls because she just didn't feel like kind of dealing with it. But the problem was the walls weren't the right color for all of these very vibrant Susan Sargent fabrics that we put on window treatments and bedding. And it was killing me because I couldn't convince her the importance of the wall color. And she had sort of creamy grayish, except that the woodwork was more creamy pink. Yeah. And it was just...
And she needed a white, a clear white.
She either needed, or she needed, you know, the fabrics, the Susan Sargent fabrics that were in the gold, she needed the Susan Sargent paint that was in the gold.
They're very clear colors.
They're very clear colors, and it was just, you know, it was such a shame because she spent a lot of money on window treatments, and it's a very fun fabric, it's youthful, it's energetic, and yet the rest of the house just didn't go with it. And it was.
And what do you do? You know, you have to walk away and know that's not your best work. And
right.
It's a shame.
Right. Because the pictures didn't, you know, represent well because the wall color was bad, but I couldn't convince her.
And the bad thing about that is because she's not listening to you, she's going to sit there. Well, hopefully she won't, but something's not going to be right.
Right. Exactly.
And that's where when people are hiring you, you just have to say, and I'm not ballsy enough to do this, but. There are times when I think, God, if I just had it in me to say, look, I know you didn't hire me so you could tell me what to do. You know, you hire me because I hopefully have the experience. I know what I'm talking about, and that's why you're paying me.
Well, you know, because we did do her bathrooms. We wallpapered her bathrooms in this very pretty terracotta color wallpaper, actually in both bathrooms, because it ended up working really well with two different fabrics. And she was just like, oh, gosh, I just love these bathrooms. And I think she just couldn't quite, in her mind, put it together. Why the bathrooms worked well, because the wall color matched, you know, coordinated with the fabric. And it brought out the best in the fabric and the best in the wall. Now, have you guys ever been watching a paint color be painted on a wall of a client and think you've made a terrible mistake?
Yes.
As it's going
up? Yes, and yes, and yes.
Yeah.
I've done it in my own house. When I go into a client's house, I'm trying to think if I've had that happen. I think it happened one time, but I pretty much know the colors that work. Like, I've got my list of colors that I like to use.
Yeah.
You know, not the same palette, but if I'm doing the ones that I know work well, and but if they'll go green or if they'll go to gray. Or,
yeah.
You know.
I was having Benjamin Moore Historic Color 30, which is Philadelphia cream, painted in a client's house. And a lot of her furniture was sort of a blueberry blue and the window treatments. And it was going up, and I'm like, oh, that. And the client wasn't there. I was there with the painter, and the client wasn't there. And I'm looking at the walls, and I'm then comparing the paint chip to the paint and realizing it is absolutely the right color. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so yellow. It's so yellow. And then the client called, and she's like, so how's it looking? I'm like, how do you feel about yellow? And she's like, oh, I like yellow. And so it ended up that she loved it, and that color has ended up as one of my go-to colors.
Oh, that's good. I'm looking at it right now. It's a nice color.
And yeah, it's beautiful, and it's a great color I found for a dark hallway because it has a real nice reflective quality to it. It does tend a little towards the yellow from more of a beigey cream, but it's awfully pretty, and I really love it. And so from that mistake came a nice-looking room.
Okay, so you make a mistake. Okay, and it's, you know, anyone can make a mistake because we use these little paint chips and then the color gets huge and the client calls and says, I hate this shade. Do you pay to have the room repainted?
Yes, I would. I mean, that's not happened. That was the only time where the paint wasn't looking the way I wanted, but I got lucky because the client ended up really loving it. And I did too in the end. But yeah, if I had to convince the client. And if it went up and I had to agree it wasn't right and the client hated it, I'd pay to repaint it.
Yeah.
I would too, for sure.
I mean, that's where they're paying us for our, you know, we advertise ourselves as, you know, we'll help you not make mistakes. So all those kind of situations, and that's probably a great topic for a future roundtable, is dealing with client mistake. One of the colors I used, it's Rhine River, Benjamin Moore Rhine River. I used in a bedroom that I did that overlooked the ocean, the Atlantic New England coast ocean. She was actually selling the house and she wanted, this was a staging job in effect, but it ended up being a full master suite makeover because she wanted that house to sell immediately and to have there be no doubt that it was overlooking the ocean. And it was just the most beautiful color, and it was exactly the color of the ocean in a spring day.
Oh, pretty.
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting, Linda, that
Rhine
you
River,
are
yep.
talking about an aqua color. And Megan said she gets a lot of requests
from blue green,
the color in her living room.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest requests is, what is the color of your guest room? Because it's an aqua, you know, it's an aqua green. That color is so, there's just something about it that people just love. It's so soothing.
That is, that blue green, people do love it.
Actually, with my guest room, I never did know the name of it because my painter, I gave him a swatch and he took it and we played with it and it was a custom color.
Do you guys ever do white rooms?
I don't. I would love to be able to, but I can't.
Why?
I don't know. I just can't let, I get in a room and then all of a sudden I feel like I need color on it. It's something, and you know, my bedroom walls are white, but what I did with my bedroom was they were just sheetrocked and the room was so bland that I got a guy to come up and put 1x4s all over so it looked like the inside of an old beach house. I had him spray it white. So that room is white, but because there's so much texture and there's so much going on, it doesn't bother me, but I have a hard time stopping without adding white, and I love it when I see it done well.
I'm the same way. I think white rooms are great for beach cottages or a house that is, you know, a beautifully done architectural, you know, piece. But for just a regular house in a regular neighborhood, white to me is kind of, I don't know, boring. I think it takes a very special house to carry off all white.
Yeah, so
there has to be a reason for a purpose for a white right. wall. There has to be a purpose. A white wall should not be there because there isn't, because lack of purpose, because you want to forget about the walls.
Well, fact. I always say to people, white is not a fallback color. You know, white is a choice. And it's a definite choice, but it's not a fallback because you can't decide what else to do or you're scared of a color.
Right. And you can't be afraid of the color. That's the other thing. I think a lot of people who might be listening to this are thinking, you know, well, I'm afraid to do it. It's paint. You can really paint over it very easily.
Right.
And it's trial and error. And I think we all know, the three of us know, because of trial and error. I mean, I think we also sort of innately understand color, which some people do and some people don't.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, and you can download our podcast at iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.